Welcome to The Scoop, brought to you by Indeed, your weekly dose of internal talent news from here and around the globe. So grab your popcorn and open your mind as I hand you over to our anchors from Tarpod, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Scoop. I'm Craig.
And I am Lauren. Well, another big week in news, my friend.
Yeah, another big week. Another big week with the same old issues coming up, but they're all gaining more and more momentum.
I know. And some of the people just don't seem to be listening to our podcasts out there, like governments and employers.
Why aren't they not listening to us? Everyone should be listening to us.
I agree. Exactly. They need to expand their listening on podcasts. Well, I'm going to kick off today because Australia's paid parental leave to reach 26 weeks by 2026. So business groups welcome the equitable system that incentivizes shared responsibility between parents. This is from HRD. Now, Australia's paid parental leave will be get its biggest boosts in more than a decade after the Senate passed on Monday an amendment expanding it to 26 weeks by 2026. So under the Parental Paid Leave Amendment Bill of 2023, working parents will be able to access two more weeks of paid parental leave in July, and it'll go up again the following July, 2 weeks every July until 2026, until it reached 26 weeks. Now, that's on top of a week or so ago, they also announced that paid parental leave will now get superannuation where it didn't before as well. So this is a very good kick, I do believe.
It's quite a change, isn't it? And off the back of a lot of work being done in that gender space. But let's not forget, Lauren, and I know you never bring it up, but this sort of it relates to you a little bit too, is that, you know, we talk about the gender pay gap and opportunities, and Nelly always comes back to women who have had children or have children in the workplace, and a lot of the work's being done around that. But that's not the case. There's also a pay gap with people who aren't
women
having
who
children.
Don't have kids. Yeah, exactly. There is a – you just can't use the argument, oh, it's the parental thing, women choose this child, blah, blah, blah. I don't. I'm still discriminated against in payroll. I know plenty of other women who don't have kids and family who still get paid less than their male counterparts. So that argument to me is moot.
So there also needs to be a lot of work outside of that as well. It's great what's happening, and it's great that we're moving the dial, but we're not hitting every single part we need to right now.
I see the change is coming. It is definitely coming, and it's good to see, thank goodness. But anyway, what have you got?
From the Times in the UK, employers call for help. Help! As job candidates are using AI and applications.
Why can't I all of a sudden hear the Beatles?
Well, it is UK, isn't it? Don't make me start singing. Applicants are using artificial intelligence when applying for jobs, and the government, this is UK government, should issue advice to employers, industry leaders warn. Hiring managers have observed potential recruits using generative AI such as ChatGPT to write cover letters, improve their CV, formulate interview answers. I know, and complete content writing tests. I know you've got an article coming up around the changes in legislation in the EU, so I'll skip that little bit. But a human resource expert from Daily Remote called Daniel Walken realised an employee had used AI with help for their application. He said, nothing quite prepared me for the candidate who used AI to get through all of our screening, he said. After an initial phone call went swimmingly, this applicant seemed like a perfect fit on paper. Then he said that alarm bells started going off when the applicant appeared for the interview and didn't match the smooth talker or all of the paperwork that he'd interacted with earlier. That's when the light bulb went off and the person had used AI assistance to ace the pre-screening. While I was impressed with the technology, I was disappointed by the deception.
Well, I think there's a couple of lessons here on this one, Pete. So ChatGPT is becoming part of our everyday life, and that's okay. So if you are doing it, though, and we spoke about this in the podcast on Monday, that you cannot just – it's going to write you a C-grade paper. You need to personalize it. You need to make it your own. You need to have part of you in there. Otherwise, this scenario is going to happen. You're going to get to the final interview or get to an interview, and you're fucking it up.
Yeah.
So you're wasting your own time and you're wasting the employer's time. But if employers have been sitting back and up until now realizing, oh, my God, they're using ChatGPT, what am I going to do? Like, are you fucking stupid? Seriously,
I know. Just get on the bus and catch up with the rest of everyone else. It's interesting that people still look. we all know that in a lot of areas, most recruiters are using AI in some area and capacity. So make the expectation is candidates will be too.
Exactly. Everyone's using it.
Exactly. What else you got?
All right. Well, so on the back of that, the AI Act becomes law in the EU. Now, I read this on Brain Food and I jumped on to the EU website and had a good old read. So basically, the AI Act is the first ever legal framework on AI, which addresses the risk of AI and positions Europe to play a leading role globally, which true. It does.
It is.
Because
it has
no
been.
One else has really come up with a big act yet or done anything amazing. So the Act, the AI Act aims to provide AI developers and deployers with clear requirements and obligations regarding specific uses of AI. At the same time, the regulation seeks to reduce administrative and financial burdens of businesses, in particular SMEs. Now, I've went on to read a lot more about it because there's obviously a lot in it. And look, it was a good read. And I think it's a very good guideline for us to even look at as Australians if for the lack of regulation here. And it's a great place to start.
And I can't wait to see the first test cases when that law gets tested. It's going to be really, really interesting.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because there already are stuff out there going on there, people suing people for intellectual property rights. So, yeah, watch this space, people.
Hey, so women fear exposing mental health concerns will affect their career. So according to
Of course we do.
According to a new report titled Beyond Empowerment, Promoting Women for Better Work by global hiring platform and jobs website and our partner Indeed, despite the high prevalence of mental health challenges in the workplace, only 30% of women feel comfortable talking to their manager about it. 58% cite that the main reason for being uncomfortable discussing mental health concerns is the fear of being seen as a less capable employee, and additionally, they feel it could be detrimental to their career and preventing them from future opportunities or promotions. What do you think about that?
That's true, actually, because the minute every month we get our period, then we go through menopause, it affects our mental health. The minute we talk about it, we're deemed crazy. So it just shits you up the wall. And
it does.
Like the 50% of us, we're not crazy. You people just have to have a bit more tolerance.
Just the 1% are crazy, and that's Lauren.
I'm not crazy. I'm the most normal person you bloody know.
Hey, just on a side note, we will put the link to this report in the bio for the show.
Yeah, it's
notes.
A very good report to read, actually. So I suggest having a look at that one. It's really good. Now, this one I've got, aged care workers win a pay rise of up to 14%, fueling inflation fears, according to the Fin Review this week. So about 250,000 aged care workers have won a pay rise of up to 14%, recognising the historic underpayment in the sector, dominated by women, adding at least a $3.4 billion to the federal budget. So another 80,000 indirect carers doing cleaning, laundry, cooking, etc. will get a 7% pay increase, which economists warn could ratchet up wages pressures in other sectors as well, which you can do that because it's a flow on. And aged care workers have celebrated a total wage rise of up to 28.5%. So yeah, it's pretty big because pay rises for direct carers decided by Fair Work Commission full bench on Friday follows last year's 15% interim increase, which costs $11.3 billion over a four-year estimate.
Yeah. Look, so, I don't think it'll be that much pressure. And the reason I say that is very, very few aged care facilities or companies are paying minimum wage anyway at the moment because of the candidate shortage. They're paying more. So this is protecting the people right at the bottom end. And also if there is a glut of people coming in and the candidate market corrects itself. But
if you go back and listen to the podcast we did with Katie LePage about aged care services and the recruitment issues they're having in that at the moment, like this is a long time coming to solve those issues.
Yeah, yeah. And it protects the people right at the bottom end too. And that's a good thing because if they are living below the poverty line and providing a service like looking after our parents and our grandparents and soon to be me.
You know that I'm so passionate about the aged care industry because they've got my nan in her 90s and they're going to have you soon, Craig.
And they deserve 28% extra to look after me.
Wiping your ass is not going to be a pleasurable event. There ain't no kink and OnlyFans involved on that one, buddy. I'm sure we could do an OnlyFans on wiping your ass, but hey, that goes another podcast.
Hey, Loz, meet Aziz, the world first Saudi AI recruiter. This is from VLent. This is amazing, and it's really hard to discuss audio. You almost need the video. So it's amazing and scary all rolled into one. Now, if you can, when you get off here, have a look at Valent, VALENTS.com/AI-recruiter. And what you'll see is this interactive avatar conducting a video interview, right? To be honest, it does to me look a little bit more like a sales video for the solution. So it may have well been edited. It might not be real time. But even if this is close, it's going to be a really squeaky bum time for some recruiters, because this looks like the future. And once the tech gets good enough and cheap enough, we know that C-suite will look at it to the detriment of us being involved in the process. So look, the tech asks probing questions, then repeats back the gist of the answer someone gives, and the videos are recorded and reviewed as a first step of the process. I'm not sure how much the tech can drill down on responses, like ask follow-up questions. I really don't know, but we do know that as the tech progresses, it will be able to do that. And
The tech is only as good as the people who program it, and only 20% of women are programmers in this sector. So there is going to be unconscious bias.
Well, interestingly, the video is a male avatar recruiter and a male candidate involved. So there's your first thing. And that's
in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Riots are so prevalent right now.
So it'd be interesting how all those, the cultural things come into it. But to watch it, it's a 2-minute video. You'll think, oh dear, they are getting close. So anyway, I'll leave you on that one.
Well, my last one, I read this and I'm like, I had a couple of what the fuck moments reading this article. Now, this is HRD. Should an employer's religious views influence a dismissal decision? And I'm going, oh, okay.
They've got me, drag me, and I'll read this.
Yeah, anyone who knows me knows I'm not a religious person. I respect anyone's religious rights, but I don't believe in organized religion. That's another topic over a couple of Aperols. Anyway, so the Fair Work Commission recently dealt with a case involving an employee who claimed to be unfairly dismissed by her employer for receiving the COVID vaccination.
Right, not taking it, but taking it.
She went and got the COVID vax. So this is a religious organization, which is some sort of fringe dweller, anti-vax type. People have worked out by going into the article in great detail. But the decision shed light on the complexities of balancing employers' beliefs and policies with an employee's personal choice and public health recommendations.
Okay.
So her duties, but mind you, this is another side note I'll add towards the end of this one, but she meanwhile, the church indicated that the worker's dismissal was based on the views about following good scripture and a belief that vaccination is contrary to God's teaching and is evil and a demonic construct.
Ooh.
That's what they said. Mm-hmm.
They went to Fair Work with that. That was their defense.
Yep. That it's an evil demonic construct against God's good scripture. Jesus. So, but anyway, they delved into it, they had nothing in their company policies or anything about working with their, that they were anti-vaxxers and they can't stop you from getting a vaccination. But get this is the cracker that I freaking loved about this one. Part of her duties while she was working for this church was selling cannabis products for medical purposes and conducting consultative appointments with clients about cannabis products. I reckon this church has got to be based in Nimbin.
That's it. It sounds like it. It's exactly. Oh, that.
Yeah.
So what church is into the trade of cannabis products? That's interesting, isn't it?
But they're a church. They're going to have tax breaks because they're a church. And religious organisations have tax breaks. So their pot dealing days are a tax break.
Pot dealing tax breaks and no COVID vaccinations because the scriptures don't allow it.
Shit, man. I tell you now, I'm starting a religion around pot brownies. The tax deductions are going to be amazing. It's going to be a cult.
Are your employees allowed to have COVID vaccinations?
Oh, I don't give two shits. You do what you want. You can vaccinate against whatever. You can walk around the bloody office with a spaghetti colander on your head thinking it's a religious thing to keep the bad, keep the CIA out of the chip in your brain for all I care. It's all about the tax breaks.
It is. Have we
and
got
we don't events? Have to be happy and clap.
That's it, happy clappy. Do we have any events this week?
We do. You want to lead off on that one? You've got a couple of meetups.
Okay, Sydney Talent Meetup, which is on the 27th of March next week. I'll be there. So you can get your tickets from the meetup page. I'm flying solo, so no leash. I'm looking up very, very forward to it. And the next one, where both of us will be there, Adelaide Meetup on the 11th of April. So it's time to get your TA on in Adelaide. And we can't wait to be in town for that one.
I can't bloody wait. We are so there.
I have not been to Adelaide since 1986.
Really?
Do you reckon it's changed much?
No. I went over to Adelaide. Oh, this was pre-COVID. I went and ran the half marathon in Adelaide. So it's the last time I was there. Basically flew in, ran a half marathon and left.
Well, this is going to be fun. We're in overnight, so we want to see all of the sights that Adelaide has to show us.
In one night? We can do that in an hour. I'm pretty confident. Now, mine is the ITERs. The early bird tickets are on sale. Jump on our website. Yeah, it'll take you to the link to Humanitics. So we are using Humanitics again this year, where they are a not-for-profit ticketing platform. So your booking fee that you will be charged, that will go to children's charities within Australia and Indigenous children's charities to help with education. So this is a platform I can get behind very, very much. So don't whinge about your booking fee, because that is going to a bloody good cause.
Yeah. What do you think about the children?
Jump on. Oh, think about the children. Think about the children. Think about them. Buy an ITERS ticket and think about the children.
That's it.
Yeah. Then you go dress shopping. So, yeah, they are on the early bird tickets. And anyone who knows this event, anyone who has been in the last 2 years, it sells out. And then I have to run the, oh, I didn't think it was going to sell out. I thought that was a marketing ploy. Well, no, it's not a fucking marketing ploy, people. We will sell out.
It's, yeah, look, it's not unlimited tickets, and there are disappointed people every year.
Oh, yeah, there are. There are absolutely disappointed people every year. We're going for 400 this year. Last time we had it at the Plaza, it was 370.
So we're putting in a couple of extra tables. God knows where.
I know where I can fit three or four tables there. So we're going to top it. We're going to top the 400 this year. We are almost ready to pull the trigger on the ITERS this year.
Almost
limiting
there.
It, almost there, peeps. So if you want to get involved, don't sit on your hands and think, yeah, I'll get around it.
The time is now.
Time is now. So I think that's us for the week.
Is that us for the week?
It is us for the week.
Well, we're just about to jump on the plane.
We're actually in Sydney. Yeah, we're jumping on a plane today to Sydney for Avatar's event.
Which is going to be great. So we're in Sydney for a couple of days.
Yes,
very exciting.
We are. And I cannot wait. There's nothing like a good hot, humid Sydney day when you feel like you're in a sauna.
Beautiful.
I know. So that's enough for me. I don't need to chat anymore.
So it's goodbye, everybody.
And a goodbye for me. And I'll see you all soon.